Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you are a journeyman plumber, and you would love to work for a great outfit in the Billings, Red Lodge, Bridger, Columbus area, get a hold of High Caliber Plumbing. Great team. Ron Gunn is the owner of High Caliber Plumbing. It's a veteran-owned, family-owned business. Both of his sons work for the company as plumbers as well. His wife, Kim, manages things. Great place to live. Great place to work, working with some of the best people right here in God's country of Montana, highcaliberplumbing.com. And, hey, if you're not a journeyman plumber, and if you don't even want to mess with that stuff, and you'd rather just call the experts, if you got some, whether it's emergency plumbing needs or whether you've got a construction site and you need some new construction plumbing done, or, hey, maybe you're somebody who's heard me talk about these Rinnai tankless water heaters where you never run out of hot water in the mornings. They specialize in, they're certified by Rinnai to install the tankless water heaters. So check them out, highcaliberplumbing.com, highcaliberplumbing.com. Having some fun talking about the Freedom Embassy.
All right, David Noble and John Jackson had to have that obscene profit time out there for Aaron. John, thank you so much for being here in studio, high above downtown Billings, Montana, broadcasting live to Montana Talks audience worldwide.
Back in the USSR, baby. I mean, it's been a while, right?
Yeah, no, we were just during the break, I was telling John about how I just got back from Argentina, and I'm sitting there in the immigration and the customs line in the line for U.S. passport holders, and I'm the only one that speaks English, and you've got the CBP workers and the immigration officials barely speaking English. Dude, these are U.S. federal government workers welcoming U.S. passport holders back, and they've got such a heavy accent, can barely understand what they're saying.
But where did you go? You went Miami directly
to coming back into Houston, so this was Houston.
You went Houston right to BA?
Yeah.
What was that? Was that like a 10-hour flight?
Yep.
That flight is brutal. Did it take you overnight, too? Was it a red-eye?
It was a red-eye flight. Look, we lucked out. The flight was not full, so we had, like, the four seats to ourselves, and so you could kind of lay down across the four. But if it's a full flight and you have to sit in one of those economy chairs for 10 hours.
It is brutal. Because I was going to countries, you know, just north of there, and you're talking 6, 7, 8 hours to get to those countries and a red-eye. And all that, and boy, you do that over a space of years every time you travel, and you're just right.
Yeah, now you'd almost if you've got a couple of free weeks, you'll just go to the cabin here in Montana versus going to South America for vacation, huh?
No, heck yeah. Now Argentina is gorgeous. Did you get over to Iguazu Falls?
No, missed that. Of course, we were going to do a bunch of stuff, and I had a broken arm, and so we kind of just laid low. But Iguazu Falls that's like one of the great natural wonders of the world.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. A beautiful country, particularly you get out into the hinterlands, you know, Patagonia and all that down there. Beautiful.
And great for hunting. I had a couple of friends on my Facebook here, a couple of Montanans, say, hey, I'm going to Argentina to hunt. Somebody's going to hunt doves, another one's going to hunt red deer, something like that. So good place to go hunt.
The dove hunting, the bird hunting down there, I guess is crazy. That you will take boxes and boxes and boxes of shells down there and run out of ammunition.
I love that. Hey, we got a message from Menace from Ennis and Owen in Bozeman. Owen's got a message about something that John Jackson wanted to bring up today as well. We'll get to those right after this. David Noble and John Jackson filling in for Aaron Flint.
It's November 4th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Candy Day. With a long history of bright colors and a near endless combination of sweet and savory flavors, few things bring smiles to faces, young and old, like candy. People these days use the term candy as a broad category, which encompasses everything from candy bars to chocolates to sour, salty, tart, and hard candies, and everything in between. If you're wondering which candies are the most popular in the U.S., well, it's M&M's and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Also on this date, in 1979, the Iran hostage crisis began as 500 Iranian students stormed the U.S. Embassy in Tehran, taking 90 Americans hostage for 444 days before being released in January of 1981. If it's your birthday today, you share it with longtime television news anchor Walter Cronkite, born in 1916. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I'll tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls. The chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and John Jackson, let me get a couple of these messages in here. Menace from Ennis says, Mr. Noble, Republicans need to pass a budget, $2 trillion government, $2 trillion military, rest on the debt. It doesn't sound like much is going to go to the debt on that. Now then, let the military and the government figure out who gets paid and who doesn't. That's a pretty good one, Menace. I like that. Owen in Bozeman says, how about that Helena City Commission candidate, Haley McKnight, calling and threatening violence and death of Senator Tim Sheehy on a voicemail to his office. Typical liberal, threatens violence, gets called out, and now playing the victim. Absolutely no accountability. Well said, Owen and Bozeman. John, this is a story that you've been tracking.
I challenge anybody out there today, get up on social media and go across Montana media sources this morning and see how many places you see this reported. This city council candidate, Democrat, left a voicemail for Tim Sheehy in which he said, I hope your children never forget you. Forgive you. I hope you are infertile. I hope you never get a ever again. You are the worst piece of I've ever had the misfortune of looking at. She goes on and on. She says, God forbid that you ever meet me in the streets because I will make you regret it. F you. I hope you die. She went on to wish him pancreatic cancer and all this stuff. And, you know our KTVQ television station here in Montana, guess what their headline on this was, David? A Montana media calls her message highly charged.
Yeah, I've got it printed out right here. Helena candidate McKnight responds to release of highly charged voicemail to Sheehy's office. And you know what's the worst about this, John, is not only do they say one of the most vile, disgusting, life-threatening, most horrible things ever. Not only is that just highly charged as opposed to what it really is, which is a death threat, which is a vile, disgusting statement. The worst part about this article from KTVQ is they basically make her out to be a good person because she was only saying that stuff because Tim Sheehy was going to take away people's health care.
And she's the victim of this now. Oh, my. Okay, let's all y'all turn this around. David and I were just talking about this as a break. Imagine for one second, this was some Republican city council member somewhere that had said this, left this voice message for John Tester when he was still senator here. Oh, my God. The FBI would already be knocking on this person's door, and the media in this state would run with this. It would be wall-to-wall coverage. This person would be required to resign.
Oh, absolutely. And then what we're also talking about is how if any Republican did this, as especially an elected official or somebody running for the city commission like this, then every single Republican in this state would be asked about it and would be asked about it continuously. And there would be implications that they support it. And it would never be given this thing about like how, oh, you know, she was only doing that because she cares about poor people's health care and blah, blah, blah. But every single Republican, do you denounce this? And a Republican would be out there trying to give a speech on a new policy. policy issue or a new program or something like that, and they'd have every single person in the media asking them about this voicemail, this threatening voicemail to John Tester. But since it's to Tim Sheehy, and since they've got this little argument here, by the way, one of the worst things that this woman said to Tim Sheehy was, "I hope you're infertile." That's one of the most evil things to wish upon somebody. And then I don't know if you saw Tim Sheehy. Tim Sheehy tweeted out, he's like, "Hey, luckily I've already got 4 kids."
And here he is. I mean, he's a big boy. He's a U.S. Senator, you know, former SEAL. I would assume that one phone call from him to the White House or one letter from him to Cash Patel at the FBI, and this lady gets a knock on her door, and the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Montana starts investigating her for threatening a U.S. senator. I would go ahead and just suppose that, right? We'll see if it happens.
No doubt. And you know what this also reminds me of, John, is how during COVID, a lot of these Democrats, a lot of these people on the left, remember when a conservative would die of COVID and the Democrats would go online and celebrate and make fun of him for not getting the shot and all this other stuff. And then they're out there saying, "Oh, if you didn't get this experimental mRNA ultra warp speed developed jab, then you shouldn't get health care or health insurance." And then you've got some of the stuff that Mamdani has been saying that Gavin Newsom and all the main Democrats support. And by the way, not a single Montana Democrat has denounced this woman or anything. But and then you saw, look what they did after Charlie Kirk.
Oh, yeah.
These people want us dead.
Oh, yeah. And you and I were talking at the break, too. That's what Kurt Schlichter, who's a political commentator and a writer for Town Hall, he said that back in 2016. He said, they want you gone. And it doesn't matter if you're financially ruined, in jail, or dead. Buy guns and ammo. And back in 2016, what you thought, man, that's a little harsh there. Today, that's 100% dead on.
100% dead on. And, you know, you talk about, like, you know, Senator Sheehy potentially going to the White House, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm sure you get death threats on X all the time. I mean, I'm a lot smaller than you, and I get death threats from these, you know. But it's like, for guys like Tim Sheehy and John Jackson and David Noble, we've got guns and ammo, and I've got them in multiple rooms in my house, and better nobody ever be trying to come over and mess with me. And I think a lot of these people know it. And so it's like, you know, make your little threats all you want. And honestly, I hope she gets arrested and prosecuted and thrown in jail for that, because that's a crime. To threaten to murder somebody like she did, and she ought to be arrested and prosecuted for. But also, you know what? I think Tim Sheehy can handle himself.
Yeah, like I said, taken as a whole, you can take little pieces of that out of that. But taken as a whole, that is an absolute threat. And what kills it, locks it in, is what you just said. If I ever see you in the street, you'll regret it.
Yeah, after what she just got done saying, that was crystal clear a threat. And the media is all trying to play, "Oh, this is just a heartwarming little voicemail about trying to save people's health." Meanwhile, it's an actual vicious, disgusting death threat. Hey, we'll be right back. David Noble, John Jackson.
Fox Sports Update.
The Arizona Cardinals losing streak is over. Good morning, I'm Jared Max. Week 9 of the NFL season wrapped up in Arlington, Texas last night. The Cardinals held off the Cowboys.
And now Prescott is going to be sacked. Calais Campbell. Extra man on the rush, and how about Campbell? Take another one. Prescott just trying to buy time. Sweat chasing him. Downfield, jump ball picked off. Intercepted by Denzel Burke.
Last-ditch effort by the Cowboys, snagged by the Cardinals on ESPN. Arizona beat Dallas 27-17. First win in 6 games for the Cardinals, who for the 3rd game in a row were quarterbacked by Jacoby Brissett. As starter Kyler Murray recovers from a foot injury, Brissett threw for 261 yards with touchdown passes to Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr., who made career-best 7 receptions for 96 yards. The Cardinals improved to 3-5, dropped the Cowboys to 3-5-1. Dak Prescott passed for 250 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception. The NFL trade deadline is today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. On the Stephen A. Smith Show Monday on SiriusXM, Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones said, "We certainly have made a trade, and we may make a couple more trades before that deadline." No news yet on the supposed Cowboys trade. Stay tuned. Victor Conti, the man who engineered the Balco performance-enhancing drug scandal that dealt steroids to athletes, died Monday at the age of 75.
Single digits on the game clock. Giannis with Nesmith switched out on him. Giannis with the back down. The paint away. The
is good! Wiz Heroes have the shot clock! Giannis with the game winner!
FanDuel Sports Network, Wisconsin. Giannis Antetokounmpo's fadeaway jump shot at the buzzer lifted the Bucks over the Pacers 117-115. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Stairs.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, just to be clear for everybody out there, the name of this Helena City Council person that is saying this is Haley McKnight. Haley McKnight. You know what's funny, John, is let me turn down my microphone there. That thing was potted up. No wonder I was having a hard time here. Sorry if I was a little hot there. But, you know, oh, Haley McKnight. Sorry. Fix that. Okay, now we're good. I told you the pros are here, John. So now we're good. But no, Haley McKnight, Democrat, Helena, Montana, threatening the life of Tim Sheehy and saying things that are way worse than even threatening death, hoping he gets pancreatic cancer and that it's too late. Who is even evil enough to say these things other than these leftists, saying that they hope he's infertile? I wouldn't hope that type of a thing on the worst communist in the world, because I'm not an evil person. Now, I hope communists lose elections. I hope they never get power. But to wish some of that evil stuff that Haley McKnight should not be. And you know, here's the other funny thing. I don't know if you saw the picture. Haley McKnight is out there swinging a LGBTQ flag. Did you see that too?
Why does that not surprise me? You know what we've been saying for the longest time, and I think it's borne out over these last 5 years, probably since COVID, is it doesn't matter if it's small town red state Montana for a city, a little bitty city council race, or if it's in Portland. Every one of these Democrats are the same now. They are all these hate-filled, radical left communist loons. I mean, absolute loons. It's like walking up. You can see a lion laying there, and it looks like for a second that it's all calm. Go up and flick him on the ear. See what happens. That's all you got to do is get these people to start talking, and you look back. You're like, oh my God, this person is an actual Democrat candidate.
Right. It kind of reminds me of. Libs of TikTok. All they ever did was just post liberals on TikTok, and then Libs of TikTok was attacked, and it's like and said to be a hater and all of this stuff, and it's like, wait, all I'm doing, and that's all you got to do is literally play these people's own words a lot of the time, and they're exposed.
She got canceled for that back during the pre-Elon time. She got actually banned for a while. I think right when Elon bought the place, he turned her account back on.
Yeah, how funny is that? It's like, oh, you're attracting hate and you're doing all of these horrible things to what, by just posting their own words? I mean, what does that tell you about their words?
It's a deep fake. It's a fake video. No, it's not, because that was even before all this AI stuff started.
Right, yeah. TC in Billings sent us a message. He says, to be fair, I actually saw Representative Ellie Boulding call out this evil, disgusting, vile Haley McKnight. Why is it that Ellie Boulding is the one Democrat that she'll listen to Aaron Flint, she'll even come onto the show here, and I'll see her on Twitter and stuff. But yet, when she was in the legislature, she was actually, as far as I know, pretty strident Democrat. But I guess kudos to Representative Ellie Boulding, the one Democrat here in Montana we've heard of to actually denounce Haley McKnight's disgusting comments.
And you watch, I get, because of the way these Democrats vote, and it's up there in Helena, they've probably all of them already voted up there by the time this hit the news yesterday. So this lady's probably going to win. I mean, this coming out the day before the election is probably not going to be enough to prevent her from winning. She's going to be an actual Democrat politician here in Montana.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you're right. To have this stuff happening in Montana and to have the Democrats of Montana acting the way they are, it's like, you know, I sort of thought that after this last election, some of these Democrats would learn their lesson, that this kind of stuff doesn't fly, that doesn't win you elections in this state. And then you see you know, Gavin Newsom was trying to come more to the center on transgender issues, but then he was on Meet the Press, fully supporting Mom Donnie. You're seeing the Democrats. You're seeing some movement. Like Bill Gates. Bill Gates has now come around and saying like global warming is not a serious concern. It's not a catastrophe. It's like they keep giving us some of these signals where it's like, okay, are these Democrats sort of getting it? Are they changing? And then you see stuff like this, and then you see the Mom Donnies and the main Democrats still supporting it, and you sort of realize, okay, all of this stuff where the Democrats are starting to sound a little bit reasonable, that's all just lies and political gamesmanship. That's all that is. They don't really believe that stuff.
Well, the minute, if you ever see any of them for a second come out and say something in any way moderate, or say something like with the Charlie Kirk thing, of mourn his loss, or in any way have any empathy for him, they get crushed so fast by that online mob that you'll see them within a day or two, they will back up on it, delete that post, apologize. I mean, they're in their group. No dissent is allowed. If you dissent from them, they will crush you.
Yeah, that's right. So I spent a lot of time this morning kind of just talking about the government shutdown, since that's in the news. I sort of have said from the beginning that the way that this ends is the Democrats are going to have to cave. And I was talking about some posts that Troy Downing and Ryan Zinke had made about the government shutdown. And then I don't know if you saw Donald Trump's 60 Minutes interview or any parts of that. But in that, they're asking him, hey, how's the shutdown going to end? And he said, the Democrats are going to have to vote to open the government. And I still think that that will happen. I mean, we need, what, two or three more Democrat senators or five? I know that there's a couple. Oh, yeah, because we lost a couple of Republican senators. I think Rand Paul won't vote for the CR. And frankly, you sort of can understand where he's coming from, because this is a continuation of Biden-era blowout spending. We're still running trillion-dollar deficits. I mean, I'd like to see us balance a budget, but it's like at the same time, the CR is really the only thing, and it's supposedly temporary, so we can do the other spending cuts, do the appropriations bills, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I guess big picture take, like, has your thoughts changed on how the shutdown might end over the course of the past month that it's been shut down? I've always sort of thought from the beginning the Democrats are going to have to cave, because the alternative is the Republicans don't have anything to negotiate. I mean, the Republicans are fighting for continued Biden-era spending. I mean, and the Democrats are wanting a trillion and a half for illegal aliens and for Obamacare subsidies that should never have been in place in the first place, and they won't fix the actual healthcare system. They just want to throw cash at the insurance companies. I mean, what can happen besides the Democrats caving?
Well, see, the reason they are shutting down the government right now, is the big, beautiful bill. That $1.5 trillion that you're talking about is what got taken out of the budget in the big, beautiful bill. So now they are trying to, through a filibuster, through a shutdown, put that back in. That's past legislation. It's done, right? And that's what this shutdown is all about. Everybody needs to understand. They want another Obamacare bailout. Say that with a big B. Bailout. It's not subsidies. It's not anything else. They want you to pay for another Obamacare bailout, and they want more of their Medicaid health care, free health care for illegals. That's why they're shutting down the government. But the word is, supposedly, I just read on Jake Sherman's page this morning, there's some stuff going on that in the next few days they may sort this out. There is some behind closed doors negotiating going on.
That never turns out well. Behind closed doors negotiations in D.C., that doesn't sound great.
No, and that's what I was putting out, as I say, we as Republicans and conservatives out here, we have got to keep an eagle eye on all of this. And in no way, not one nickel for another bailout for Obamacare, and not one nickel for health care for illegals.
Yeah. No, and I was talking to Aaron, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago about this whole Obamacare thing and the fact that health insurance premiums are sky high in this country. Not only just the Obamacare premiums, but any kind of private health insurance is just off the charts expensive right now. And that's because the Democrats have destroyed our health care and our health insurance. And I don't think we should all, as conservatives, just sit idly by and just allow the destruction of our health insurance and our health care systems to be. We actually have solutions to these things. We actually can get, we could actually get rid of Obamacare and bring back truly catastrophic health plans. You can't even get a really catastrophic health plan now because Obamacare put in place all these requirements that every single health plan has to cover, you know, all these different things. You can't even really get a low-cost catastrophic plan anymore. And then a million regulations on top of it. You get rid of some of that stuff, you start phasing out the federal government's involvement, and you can actually have a decent health care system in this country. But the Democrats could make some headway on that issue because people are feeling the pain of health care. People just need to realize that the Democrats ruined it.
Yeah, it's this is their bill, 100%. Not one single Republican ever voted for this, and then not one single Republican voted for that bailout in 2021. You know what kills me, David, is if you what the Democrats used to great effect right now, particularly during this shutdown and about Obamacare, is they just pop right back to Republicans. Well, what's your plan? And this makes Republicans go limp. They do not want to answer this question ever. And see, the Democrats know that. That's why they use that. And I don't understand. I said this the other night on Spaces. Why you can't just come back as a conservative Republican and say, here's my plan. Get the government's you know what, all the way out of health care, period. No more government regulations, no more Obamacare, none of it. Allow competition across state lines. That's my plan.
Love it. And then you would have health care costs come down enough to where normal everyday Americans could actually afford it again. Now you can't afford it. Hey, I've got a couple of messages here on the app. Plus, I've got a message in from the Secretary of State's office. We couldn't get the Secretary of State on due to technical difficulties, but one point that the Secretary of State's office is making is a lot of the rejection ballot rates you're seeing right now in some of these news articles that I've been talking about and you're seeing in Yellowstone County and Gallatin County, the media is comparing the current rejection rates on the ballots to the rejection rates after the curing happened in previous years. And so it's totally misleading because what you're seeing is a lot of people, now that they realize you've got to put your birth year on the ballot, they're actually going in there getting that fixed. And so I think people just need to keep in mind when you're seeing these sort of numbers out there and then they're comparing it to previous years, you're really comparing apples and oranges. One, you're comparing currently before the curing period compared to last year's after the curing period. And so what you're seeing with this new requirement is the rejections are coming down. Our election is more secure because now you at least have to put down your birth year to get your ballot in. And so that makes it harder to cheat. Check the status of your ballot. If it's been rejected, you can do a simple form via email into the election office. And that's how we're going to defeat the left. Got some messages here on the app coming in. I see those. We'll get to those. It's David Noble and John Jackson filling in for Aaron Flint. We'll be right back.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Here's your host, David Noble and John Jackson, filling in. We are taking messages via phone and the app, Montana Talks app, or 406-294-0970. Willie in the Paradise Valley says, I knew a guy at my Bible study a few years ago who said something bad about Obama. The next day, the Secret Service was at his door.
That's how they roll.
That's how it works. Free Northman on X, out of Eureka, says Democrats attack us violently and with words on a daily basis. Then old Republicans say, can't we all just get along? Democrats laugh and just keep attacking us. Republicans who appease are the problem.
Well, you got to understand what they're doing here, all of them. You saw Nancy Pelosi just yesterday call President Trump, the quote is, the worst thing on the face of the earth, a vile creature. Right. This is the former Speaker of the House. And what these, you know, like that gal over there in Helena, what she said about Tim Sheehy, this is all promoting, pushing violence. They want more of what happened to Charlie Kirk.
And it was the same response to Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. What happened to President Trump? It's that dog whistle to all the nutbags out there. get these people. They're evil. They're fascist. Go climb a clock tower and do something about it.
Yeah, and they justify it to themselves morally because they will tell themselves, you know, Trump or you and I, we're Nazis or, you know, we're racist or we want to take away poor people's health care. Of course, that's the opposite of the truth. People forget that it was actually the Christian right that started the abolition of slavery movement. It's actually conservatives and free market capitalists that have created a system that can provide high quality health care to low income people. So never mind the fact that me and you have health care reform ideas that would enable the poor and the low income to get high quality health care. Never mind all that. They think it's justified morally to kill people like us because they think that that's going to help poor people get health care, or they think that's going to like result in a Nazi getting killed or something like that. And so that's what's really scary about it, is because not only are they engaged in violence and really evil activity, but they have convinced themselves that they're doing good by doing so.
Oh, 100%. And one thing everybody that's been in law enforcement for any amount of time knows, that maybe a lot of citizens don't know, is that you would not believe the amount of people out here in the population that are what I call functionally mentally ill. They go to work every day and they pay their taxes and all that stuff, but they are every day just a slip of paper away from going over the edge. You know the type. You probably dated a few of them, right? you know the type. And these people, you sit around all day long and read the disgusting, hateful stuff on social media, or maybe you're watching MSNBC, you got them dripping that acid in your ear all day long, and you're already mentally ill. Yeah, after 3 or 6 months of that, a year of that, you're ready to climb a clock tower.
Right, right. And the comments about Donald Trump and saying that he's an existential threat to us, and the trans movement was particularly dangerous in terms of basically saying that every conservative was engaged in a genocide against them. And it's like, what do you do when there's a genocide? You engage in violence to stop it. And so, like, of course that was going to lead people to violence.
I don't know if you saw Rogan interviewed Elon Musk the other day, and it dropped last Friday. Great segment, great episode, but they got into that a little bit, and they were saying, both of them were saying, look, imagine it from our side. If we were being told every day that these people are fascists and Nazis and all this stuff, what would we imagine? What does that tell us? That means we need to fight them, right? And the mentally ill people don't understand it. That means fight them at the ballot box.
Right. Right.
They think that means go actually physically do something, do harm to them.
Right. And, you know, some people would say, okay, well, you conservatives are engaged in the same type of activity by calling the radical left socialists and communists and everything like that. And I say, no, I push back against that. I disagree with that, because here's the difference. One of them is the truth, and one of them is not the truth. And here's the other thing, John. They're the bad guys, we're the good guys. And so it's not the same. When the good guy says the bad guy is a bad guy, that's different than when the bad guy says the good guy is a bad guy. That's different. It's not the same.
Well, what I remind people about all the time is, all you have to do, you want to know who are the baddies and who are the goodies? Look at every single agenda item behind the Democratic Party. Every single thing from soup to nuts is about destroying you and destroying this country. So who are the bad guys? I mean, tell me, plain. Just it's objectively true.
Absolutely. Let's get through some more of these messages. Morgan in Helena says, what an ID theft exposure to force voters to have their signatures and birth year exposed on mail ballots sent into the ether or given to ballot harvesters. Morgan, great point about why we shouldn't be doing any ballots at all. And so, you know, your birth year is going to be on the is it on the secrecy envelope? Is it on the exterior envelope? Either way, first of all, your birth year is available online most of the time. If you just search people's names, you can find that pretty easily. But second of all, I can certainly understand wanting to not have your birth year exposed on your ballot. But in that case, don't vote by mail. Or do what I do, which is support the way, you know, I was in Argentina for their midterm elections. They have one day of an election, and you show up in person and you vote. And then guess what? They actually were able to count all of their ballots within like 2 hours. And so it was like the by like 7 or 8 at night, you know, we had like 90% of the ballots in. And it was super cool being down there. And I was watching live Spanish news TV, and they had the live camera feeds from Cristina de Kirchner, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, the previous president, who's now currently under house arrest wearing an ankle monitor for stealing state money. And she's up on this balcony because she can't leave her house because she's got the ankle monitor. And there's a big crowd of socialists out there waiting for her to come. Anyway, the point is that I think, Morgan, that's a fair point. People don't want their birth year on their ballot. But you know what the benefits of having that are? The benefits of having that, it makes it much more difficult for somebody to find your ballot, fill it out, and send it in, because then they would have to know your birth year to do it and have it count. And when you've got just mail ballots just mailed out everywhere, that's a genuine concern. So I understand the ID theft issue. I think that it's outweighed by the benefits of additional security. But I think we ought to go back to one day in person.
100%. The way you do that, like our friend Irene Almeida, I don't know if you know Irene from Twitter. She's called into the show several times. She's got dual citizenship in Portugal, and she's over there quite a bit. And she'll tell you, right, because she can vote over there. She says, you go into a polling place. Okay, it is one day voting. You bring your ID, and they have monitors not only from all parties, from all the political parties, not only outside but inside the count room, and they count the votes in one day, right? This is Portugal, people. All right. It's not that hard. Like I said, we know, just like we knew about COVID, just like we knew about the 2020 election, everybody knows that they do this to cheat. 100%.
Right. And then even here in Montana, apparently you can cure your ballot until Wednesday at 5 p.m. And so it's like, what? So now does the campaign is now not even, it's like not even election day. It's like now you have to campaign all the way through Wednesday now. Because you could be still campaigning, and you could be campaigning on Wednesday to voters that are still going to go in and fix their ballot or redo a ballot.
Oh, and you'll get some Montana judge here probably pretty soon say, oh, no, you have to give them a week. You know, no, I hate that people would miss that, and, you know, it's easy to miss, true enough. But if you miss it, too bad. Guess what? You won't do it next time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Cameron in Billings says, what's in place to keep health insurance companies from hiking up their prices to the moon without regulation? Other than regulation, you have something called the invisible hand of the free market. If you've never heard of Adam Smith, I would recommend reading Adam Smith. Z in Michigan says, John has to sing this and mix in Islam and make it all sound good. Who can take dystopia and make it sound good? Who attracts the fools? It's all understood. The communists. The communists can't. The communists can't. John, let's hear. You gotta sing.
I can hear Sammy Davis Jr. right there. You know, the Candyman can, right? that's what, you know, Z says that all the time on our, and Nathan does too on our spaces. Is that's what Rush Limbaugh used to say all the time? Is you can't beat Santa Claus, right? People always want to vote for Santa Claus. Whoever's going to bring them, whoever says they're going to bring them the freebies.
Right, and I agree with that, and it kind of, so then the next question is, okay, so if that's where democracy leads to is Santa Claus candidates winning, maybe that's why we don't have a democracy, and maybe that's why the founding fathers of this country didn't have everybody voting at the time. It was, hey, maybe you have to own land to vote. Maybe you have to pay taxes to vote. But the idea, you know, of everybody voting is going to lead to the Santa Claus candidates, and it's going to lead to what we have now in a lot of ways.
The thing that really frustrates me is, you know, we've all vote for these Republican candidates that say they're going to go up there and cut all this crap, and then when they get there, they just become another member of the Borg that votes for more and more spending.
That's what happens. Hey, we got some more. We got something from Brandy. Oh, we got Senator Ellie Boldman writing in. We got something from Francis in Big Fork, Shelley in Gallatin Gateway, Fred in the Flathead. We're going to get to your messages right after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I want to hear from you. Maybe even young people in New York City and in New Jersey and Virginia, wherever you happen to be. I mean, these are interesting elections to me. Look, off year, it should be a Republicans election to lose. The party in power historically loses the elections. But Jack Cittarelli, I mean, four polls out of a one-point race. That means, by definition, and I've done this now for decades, that that is a turnout election. All your friends, your family, loved ones, talk to your neighbors, talk to your fellow employees, and get them to vote. Turnout will be critical, and you can shock the world.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
There's a reason I'm so proud of our partnership with Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, because they don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk when it comes to supporting our vets. It's a veteran-owned company. This month, Pure Talk is choosing to support Canines for Warriors. Now, this is an incredible organization that rescues and trains dogs, pairs them with veterans that are struggling, for example, with PTSD. Canines for Warriors gives these heroes a purpose. It gives them companionship and healing. That's exactly why Pure Talk, a veteran-led company, supports them. Now, choose a wireless company that shares your values. Remember, you're going to get unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, $25 a month. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You get the exact same service as the big carriers, same cell tower, same 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and make the switch. #250, keyword save now, switch today to America's wireless company, Pure Talk. Talk.
Fox Rocks.
I'm Michelle Pulino. Jimmy Eat World is releasing a new EP, Something's Loud, November 14th, featuring a mix of digital-only singles and a new track called Failure. Recorded during sessions for the band's 2019 album, Surviving, Failure arrives with a skateboarding-themed video. The EP also includes Something Loud in both original and acoustic versions, and a cover of Crooked Fingers' Call to Love featuring Best Coast's Bethany Cosentino. The band also promised more big plans in the new year. Mumford & Sons have confirmed their second album in less than a year, Prize Fighter, will arrive February 13th. The news comes less than a week after unveiling a new surprise single, Rubber Band Man, featuring Hozier, that was produced by The Nationals' Aaron Dessner, who previously worked with the band on their 2015 album, Wilder Mind. The new album also includes collaborations with Chris Stapleton and Gracie Abrams. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News. Chris Munn.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, huge shout out to Grandpa Lou for coming in and giving John Jackson and I some deer sausage. Deer sausage. Oh, yeah. Man, is that good, too. I just
that
ate one.
That is good stuff. And like we were saying, that is true organic beef.
Love it.
Not a single chemical, hormone, nothing in that.
We got the helicopter coming in here just very close to the building. But, hey, let's get to some of these messages. First of all, Senator Ellie Boldman says, just heard the shout-out, boys. I'm actually a senator, not a representative, a senior senator at that. Sorry about that, Senator Boldman. And she says, yes, the Helena City Council candidate's comment was abhorrent, and it should be condemned by both sides of the aisle. Unacceptable. There are plenty of Democrats and Republicans who still stand for civility. So thank you so much, Senator Boldman. Brandy says, hi, David and John. As Kaizen has said, one of the biggest issues with politics today is people who are more concerned about their tribe than the truth. They will refuse to denounce things coming out of their party because they are more concerned about remaining in touch with their tribe than speaking the truth about issues and topics that arise. I think that's a pretty good point.
That is 100% dead on. And as in almost everything wrong with our politics and our society today, all of that started with Barack Hussein Obama. He started all of this, in which he and his people in the media and his White House told all of their voters out there one basic thing, is that Republicans are not just, they're not good people with bad ideas. They're bad people. And that's how they created a little bit at a time over the last however many years, this tribalism in which they 100%, no matter, like that lady, Haley McKnight there in Helena, that said those evil, awful threats to Tim Sheehy, they don't care. They will still go out and vote for her today because she's a Democrat, period.
Right. And they justify it to themselves morally, but based on just exactly what you just said.
Yep. We're bad people.
And the thing about the thing that Barack Obama was able to do that I think made him a genius in a lot of ways is he was able to plant those seeds of division and hatred. And he did it while sounding so smart and so like he was bringing everybody together. And he really planted some seeds of not only division within our country amongst races, amongst political beliefs, but real just raw hatred for the country and the Constitution itself. And really, you know, these intellectuals like Obama, the academics, you know, they can sort of tell you an academic theory or an intellectual theory that sounds so smart and so nice. But what it really does is it plants a seed in somebody to then start hating and really promoting some violence.
Well, what I tell everybody is, you remember that famous saying where Obama was saying that if he had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. Remember the Trayvon Martin thing? Well, no. If he had a son, it would be Mom Donnie. Because you see right now, Mom Donnie is everything that Obama wished he could have said and been during his time. It is the end result of all that. And you watch, he's already telling you, Mom Donnie's already telling you in this last week or so, just like Obama, any criticism of him or his people will be considered Islamophobia.
Right. And the other thing is I've always found it so disturbing. Like, okay, so it's totally fine for Barack Obama to say, like, if I had a son that, you know, he would look like Trayvon. Or for folks to say, hey, like, you know, when my son or daughter watches TV, they want to see somebody that looks like them. But then if a white person were to say, hey, you know, it's normal for me to want my children to see white people on the TV. That's, oh, my goodness, you're a Nazi.
Well, that we say that all the time is that the white Christians here in the United States, we're like that. You know that guy down on the islands up in the mountains in the Philippines who still thought, that Japanese guy who still thought that World War II was going on after, you know, 20 years later. You people out there, white Christians out there, y'all are the last people in the world that thinks the world is colorblind and not racist and won't hate you just because of your skin color. We're the last people that think that.
Yeah, and frankly, international travel would open a lot of people's eyes to that, because the amount of racism in other countries is absolutely off the charts.
From the... Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future, but he wanted to try violin. So you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show him you love him. Keep him safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take, but it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.